Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 18, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Watch, how JET8 is injecting crypto into the social media value chain. Crypto exchange Upbit's operator eyes blockchain in OTC securities trading. Cambodia's central bank testing digital wallet to ease cross-border payments. Digital securities exchange taps R3's blockchain for post-trade activities. Binance hikes leverage to 125x for launch of Bitcoin Tether futures. Fake Tor browser has been spying, stealing Bitcoin for years. Tourists in popular Japanese region could soon use a local cryptocurrency. Bitcoin has failed but global stablecoins a threat, say BIS and G7. Huobi plans to open fiat gateway with Lira Tether pairing in Turkey. Looming death cross suggests Bitcoin may be nearing price bottom. What to make of the SEC's latest Bitcoin ETF rejection? Now let's get started. Watch, how JET8 is injecting crypto into the social media value chain. JET8 is taking a new approach to social media and data ownership using blockchain. Chief Strategy Officer Joshua Thompson sat down with CoinDesk to discuss how his firm is putting users back in the center of the value chain. First, the platform enables anyone to create Instagram-like applications centered on their own interests, hobbies, or career. Secondly, members and content creators receive a portion of advertising revenue in the form of a US dollar-backed stablecoin for engaging with these apps. This J8T token can be redeemed at nearly 25,000 retail outlets, including 7-Eleven and Circle K, and a host of e-commerce platforms. Soon, Thompson said, the firm will release an ERC-20 counterpart token to redeem real-world objects on the Ethereum blockchain. With nearly 20 million app downloads, JET8 is making moves at a time when social media heads are facing scrutiny for the way their platforms turn users into products. In Thompson's words, they're monetizing our content and data. He added off-camera, today 100% of digital advertising dollars go back to the social networks for our data and engagement. An inequitable relationship. At JET8, we are giving the ad dollar back to users for their data. This to us is much more equitable and empowering. Crypto exchange Upbit's operator eyes blockchain in OTC securities trading. Dunamu, the operator of the Upbit crypto exchange, is releasing a new app this month in South Korea for trading unlisted securities with a plan to utilize blockchain in the first half of next year. According to a report from the Korea Herald on Monday, the project is aimed to lower trading costs, which tend to be high for over-the-counter (OTC) stocks at the moment with a series of manual processes, and to improve security and address information imbalances between buyers and sellers. The report added it will be possible to trade up to 4,000 securities on the platform with Samsung Securities managing the trading process. When introduced next year, the blockchain component will allow for the verification of identities and the processing of the transactions. In particular, it will automate the updating of certain shareholder lists in a distributed fashion that currently have to be maintained by hand. Most unlisted stock transactions in South Korea are made via online community bulletin boards and offline trades, leading to uncertainties surrounding the party's identities and the information needed in the investment, Dunamu's chief strategy officer Lim Ji-hoon was quoted as saying. Blockchain for the trading of unlisted securities is already receiving attention in Korea. In early August, a group including COSCOM, the IT arm of the Korea Exchange, and the Kebhana Bank said they would be developing an OTC platform and promised to have it up and running by the end of the year. Cambodia's central bank testing digital wallet to ease cross-border payments. Cambodia's central bank wants to slash the cost of cross-border payments and is studying how its in-house digital wallet, the Hyperledger Iroa-powered Bakong, might get the job done. The National Bank of Cambodia (NBC) signed an agreement last week with Malaysia's Maybank to determine how the bank's respective digital payment platforms Bakong and Maybank 2U can work in tandem to reduce often crippling remittance fees. Any breakthrough would be welcome for residents of the two Southeast Asian nations. Though separated only by the Gulf of Thailand, Cambodia's chief central banker H.E. Chee Seri told the Khmer Times that remittance fees can range as high as 30%. That can change with the new partnership, Chee Seri said in the new announcement. The introduction of Bakong system will provide more possibilities in enhancing payment system at both domestic and regional level. Bakong launched in July and now accepts users from 8 separate Cambodian banks, including ACLEDA Bank, the country's largest commercial bank with over $5 billion in assets last year. Bakong's potential linking with Maybank 2U could tap into a much wider audience. A spokesperson for Maybank, the country's largest bank, said that 52% of all Malaysian online banking transactions went through Maybank 2U. We look forward to providing our customers in Malaysia and Cambodia with a convenient yet cost-effective solution for inter-country funds transfer, said Datuk Hamarula Borhan, head of Community Financial Services for Maybank Malaysia. Digital Securities Exchange taps R3's blockchain for post-trade activities. Digital securities startup Archax has inked a deal to use blockchain firm R3's Corda Enterprise solution for handling post-trade activities on its exchange. Revealed Friday, Corda Enterprise was chosen for mopping up trades using distributed ledger technology to reduce friction in the post-trade process. Post-trade activities normally include the changing of ownership records, transfer of securities and cash to settle the trade, and reporting. Based in London and founded in 2018, Archax front-end trade activities will remain blockchain-agnostic, the firm said, but a private, permissioned version of Corda was needed for managing data following trades. The current post-trade process in traditional financial markets is hugely inefficient, with many intermediaries involved, Archax CEO Graham Rodford said in a statement. This partnership will remove friction and streamline activities to improve efficiency and reduce cost. The firm added that its request to operate a multilateral trading facility (MTF) in London is being considered by the Financial Conduct Authority. The partnership comes months after R3 hired software sales veteran Kathy Minter as Chief Revenue Officer to boost business adoption of R3's Corda Enterprise. At the time, Minter told CoinDesk that the enterprise blockchain firm was seeing multiple inquiries despite industry-wide expectations of a 60% decline in 2019 sector investment flows. Binance hikes leverage to 125x for launch of Bitcoin Tether futures. Binance's futures exchange is raising leverage to 125x with the launch of Bitcoin, BTC, Tether, USDT, contracts today. The cryptocurrency exchange first announced its futures platform in early July, at the time hinting it would allow 20x leverage. Now, futures traders can now choose leveraged positions between 1x and 125x, it said Friday. We have seen an increase in institutional participation in trading and they are flocking to Binance futures, said Binance CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao in a statement. The market has been demanding a product with superior stability and performance, now we are providing one. Max leverage positions on Binance now exceed crypto exchange BitMEX's futures leverage positions, which top off at 100x for some contracts. Noted economist and crypto skeptic Noriel Robini has previously argued that, in providing such high leverage, exchanges are exposing traders to too much risk. Binance said its BTC futures contract provides a built-in hedging tool to help traders manage that risk. Further, the exchange said it's providing an insurance fund, the firm's quotation marks, that helps to limit the chances of auto deleverage. The announcement comes amidst tightening competition in the Bitcoin futures space. Intercontinental Exchanges-backed Bitcoin Futures Exchange launched this September. Although the exchange's initial volume disappointed critics, the exchange has already conducted its first block trade for two institutional investors. Fake Tor browser has been spying, stealing Bitcoin for years. Hackers have been distributing a compromised version of the official Tor browser that's packed with malicious tools used to both spy on users and steal their Bitcoin. Discovered by researchers at IT security firm ESET, the Trojanized Tor has apparently resulted in a relatively small amount of Bitcoin being lost to date, with funds taken by address swapping when users try to pay on darknet markets. In an announcement emailed to CoinDesk on Friday, ESET's senior malware researcher, Anton Cherepanov, said the research had identified three Bitcoin wallets used by the hackers since 2017. Each such wallet contains relatively large numbers of small transactions. We consider this a confirmation that these wallets indeed were used by the Trojanized Tor browser, Cherepanov explained. At the time the research was completed, the three wallets had received 4.8 Bitcoin, worth $38,700 at press time, though ESET said the actual amount stolen would be higher as wallets for the Russian payments service Givi are also targeted. The hacking campaign has been targeting Russian-speaking users of Tor, a network designed to keep identities hidden to avoid tracking and surveillance. The cybercriminals behind the fake Tor browser have been using forums and pastebin.com to distribute their offering as the official Russian-language version of the app. Their goal was to lure language-specific targets to a pair of malicious yet legitimate-looking websites, said ESET. On first website, the user receives an alert that their Tor browser is out of date, even if not true. Visitors who are duped by the message are then redirected to a second website with an installer for the fake app. Once installed, the malware-laden browser enables its creators to know what websites a user visits, to change the data on visited pages and grab the content of data forms. While the hackers could potentially display false information to users, the browser has only been observed to change the wallet addresses for the purposes of stealing Bitcoin, Cherepanov said. Tourists in popular Japanese region could soon use a local cryptocurrency. Mitsubishi Research Institute (MRI) and an Osaka-based railway company are issuing a local cryptocurrency for use in a popular tourist area in Japan's Mie Prefecture. The MRI, formed in 1970 by Mitsubishi Group companies, said on Wednesday that the token, dubbed Kintetsu Shimikaze coin, will be utilizing blockchain and is available only from November 11 to January 31 next year. It is the fourth such unit created by the two companies as they work to refine the technology and develop relevant processes, procedures and services. The experiment is a highly limited trial and will take place in the Aizushima region, a peninsular area known for its beaches, seafood, pearl cultivation and a national park. Only 15 establishments in the region will accept the coin, including the Shima Spain Village, Miyako Resort Shima Bayside Terrace, Kashikojima España Cruz and the Makande Art Museum. While the token will be temporary just for the pilot, Kintetsu hopes to eventually issue a permanent cryptocurrency for use along its railway lines, according to a news report from Nikkei. To use the cryptocurrency, which is a stablecoin pegged to the Japanese yen, users must download the Kintetsu Shimikaze coin app for registration. They will be able to top up in 1,000 yen blocks, paying a 10% premium, up to 100,000 yen in total. Transfers of the coin will be possible between participants. At the end of the trial period, the coin will be retired and cannot be used. The Kintetsu Group, the local company partnering with MRI, is listed on the Tokyo Stock Exchange and owns transportation assets including lines into the targeted area of the program. MRI will be responsible for the issuing and management of the tokens. Kintetsu and MRI have been cooperating for 2 years on local coins. The first Kintetsu Haruka's coin social experiment was run in September and October 2017 to test a payment system using blockchain technology. The second Kintetsu Haruka's coin social experiment was run in October and December 2018 in Osaka to test the QR code technology and introduce person-to-person transfers. Mitsubishi UFJ, the banking group, and Omron Corporation participated. In February 2019, the two companies tested a local coin around Osaka Uehamachi Station. Bitcoin has failed but global stablecoins a threat, say BIS and G7. Bitcoin and other early cryptocurrencies have failed as an attractive means of payment or store of value, says a new report from the G7 and Bank of International Settlements, BIS. However, the October report argues that widely adopted asset-pegged cryptocurrencies, or stablecoins, such as Libra are a growing threat to monetary policy, financial stability and competition. Widely adopted stablecoins, dubbed global stablecoins in the report, have the potential to reach an international audience and have significant adverse effects on the current economic system, it argues. Meanwhile, first-generation cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin have suffered from highly volatile prices, limits to scalability, complicated user interfaces and issues in governance and regulation, among other challenges. Thus, cryptoassets have served more as a highly speculative asset class for certain investors and those engaged in illicit activities rather than as a means to make payments. Stablecoin taxonomy defined as a money equivalent, contractual or property claim, or right against an issuer for an asset will remain a preeminent legal question for the time being, the report continues. The effects of stablecoins on incumbent money systems such as wire transfers have yet to be fully understood as well. While stablecoins may offer faster, cheaper and more inclusive payments, they can only be realized if significant risks are addressed. In a footnote, the G7 report says the Swiss Financial Market Supervisory Authority's FINMA handling of the Libra Association, which falls under the regulator's purview in Geneva, agrees with the G7's stablecoin recommendations. FINMA recently said Libra highlights the need for international coordination and appropriate prudential requirements for all services offered over that of a payment system. The report on stablecoins was prepared at the request of the G7 in July, soon after the launch of Libra back in June. While obviously directed in part at the project, the report only mentioned Libra in one footnote. Responding to the G7, the Libra Association sent out a memo Friday saying the stablecoin is not intended to change the role and influence of central bankers, adding, wallets and other financial services operating on the Libra network, including exchanges and other on and off ramps, will have to comply with regulations, such as local capital controls, which can be tailored to prevent large-scale flights from local currency to Libra coins in emerging markets. Huobi plans to open fiat gateway with Lira Tether pairing in Turkey. Global crypto exchange Huobi plans to roll out a fiat gateway in Turkey that could increase access to more than 250 cryptocurrencies for local investors. The move comes as Turkey puts forward a clearer legal framework for the crypto market in a country where many people already hold cryptocurrencies, Mohit Devar, Huobi's EMEA regional president, told CoinDesk. The company is announcing the project at the Eurasia Blockchain Summit in Istanbul on Friday. Huobi announced in June that it intended to get more involved in the Turkish crypto market, but did not disclose details about the expansion at the time. Devar said the exchange has partnered with one of the largest local banks to build the infrastructure and compliance standards for the fiat gateway, but declined to name the local bank partner. He said Huobi would announce the partnership at a launch in December, at the latest, as the actual date could be earlier given as they have already started testing the gateway platform. Huobi started to establish a partnership with the bank in June, he said, and has since been trying to address some of the biggest concerns voiced by Turkish banks. I think generally where there is not a clear regulatory framework in the market, it's been left to the discretion of the banks to make their own decision, Devar said. That is always to make sure that we have the right checks and balances, particularly when it comes to KYC and AML. The banks want to make sure when they face off with us as a partner, that they are actually fulfilling their obligations, he said. The fiat gateway would enable transactions between local fiat currency Lira and dollar stablecoin Tether, USDT. Once users purchase Tether through their bank account, they could trade it with any other cryptocurrencies on Huobi Global. The company believes that the Lira-USDT pairing makes transactions in the local market much easier, compared to offering hundreds of pairing between Lira and the other cryptocurrencies. It's very difficult for any exchange to offer liquidity in the 250 coins that we hold against the local currency, Devar said. One could also convert Lira to dollar-pegged Tether at the rate they are comfortable without worrying volatility of cryptocurrencies during the transaction, he added. The exchange has also revealed its aggressive fee structure, Divar disclosed. Turkish users will be able to trade at a 50% discount with 0.1% transaction fees, and even lower transaction fees by holding Huobi token, HT. Another program would open up for professional traders in Turkey to trade with low fees across spot and margin trades. The exchange has launched a mobile app and a Turkish version of Huobi's trading website to help local customers. The next step is to onboard the local team and start the operation, including 4 full-time staff members, Divar said. Divar said the banking partnership being worked on now is non-exclusive, meaning Huobi could sign up more banking institutions and non-bank investors as it expands its services in Turkey. Looming death cross suggests Bitcoin may be nearing price bottom. View: Bitcoin's 50 and 200-day moving averages (MAs) look set to produce a death cross in the next week or two. Historical data shows the cryptocurrency could bottom out if the cross is confirmed. BTC may drop to support near $7,430 before then. A break above $8,820 is needed to invalidate the bearish lower highs set up and confirm a bullish reversal. Bitcoin may be close to bottoming out, as a popular contrary indicator is teasing a bearish turn for the first time since March 2018. Potentially producing a so-called death cross, the 50-day moving average is falling fast and may drop below the 200-day MA over the next week or so. If confirmed, the chart event would be the first such crossover of these averages since March of last year. A death cross is a long-term bear market indicator, according to technical analysis theory. In reality, however, it is a lagging indicator and often ends up trapping sellers on the wrong side of the market, as seen in the charts below. The 50-day MA fell below the 200-day MA on March 31, 2018, above left, following which the sell-off stalled around $6,500 and the cryptocurrency rose back to highs near $10,000 in the first week of May. Note that the Relative Strength Index (RSI) was reporting oversold conditions when the crossover happened. A market is often oversold by the time a cross is confirmed, as the MAs are based on past data and the crossovers are a product of price rallies or sell-offs. In mid-September 2015, Bitcoin's pullback from highs near $250 also ran out of steam near $220 with the confirmation of a death cross. The cryptocurrency remained sidelined in the range of $220-$250 in the following weeks before breaking into a bull market at the end of October 2015. What followed was a meteoric rise to a record high of $20,000 by December 2017. The impending crossover may also turn out to be a bear trap, as Bitcoin will most likely be oversold by then, having dropped more than 40% already from June's high of $13,800. Additionally, the cryptocurrency is set to undergo a mining reward halving in May 2020 and may repeat history by picking up a strong bid 6 months ahead of the event, as pointed out by popular analyst at US$100 trillion. That said, the ongoing pullback from the recent highs above $8,800 looks to have legs, as per the technical charts. Therefore, Bitcoin will likely remain on the defensive in the days leading up to the crossover and bottom out below recent lows near $7,750. The spread between the 50 and 200-day MAs currently stands at $417, the narrowest since early May, and indicates that bullish sentiment is at its weakest in over 5 months. Bitcoin bounced up from the 100-week moving average last week and witnessed a double bottom breakout on the 6-hour chart, above left. Even so, the cryptocurrency failed to take out the 200-day MA on October 11, above right, and has dropped to levels below $8,000, forming a bearish lower high pattern above $8,800. Put simply, the bearish sentiment is still quite strong, and a deeper slide below the 100-week moving average at $7,755, possibly to support near $7,430 multiple daily lows in early June, could be in the offing ahead of the death cross confirmation. The outlook would turn bullish if and when prices rise above $8,820, invalidating the bearish lower highs setup. What to make of the SEC's latest Bitcoin ETF rejection? The takeaway? The SEC rejected the latest Bitcoin ETF proposal last week, though it wasn't entirely unexpected. The decision clarified the SEC's concerns, which mainly revolve around market manipulation. Legal experts say a Bitcoin ETF could be years away because, in the eyes of regulators, the Bitcoin market is too small and immature to support a fund right now. The SEC suggested that a surveillance sharing agreement between a regulated exchange and a Bitcoin market of significant size might help allay its unease. Bitwise and others see this as an opening. Some experts remain unconvinced. The Bitcoin market isn't yet mature enough to support an exchange-traded fund ETF. So said the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) last week when it rejected Bitwise's Bitcoin ETF proposal in a mammoth 112-page order that included more than 500 footnotes. Legal experts said the decision suggests that a Bitcoin ETF may still be years away. But Matt Hogan, Bitwise's global head of research, sees positives in the decision. The SEC has at least shown it's willing to raise addressable concerns, rather than rejecting a product out of hand with little explanation. A bad outcome would have been a cursory filing, Hogan told CoinDesk, adding, "After digesting it a little bit, we're pleased with the detail the staff provided and the clarity of what we have to do." Zachary Fallon, a principal at Blakemore Fallon, said that while Bitwise's effort may not have been successful, the process was revealing and will almost certainly help when launching a Bitcoin ETF at some point in the future. Market manipulation. The SEC worries about the Bitcoin market because of the potential for manipulation, said Lindsay Donis-Cohen, general counsel and chief operating officer at crypto exchange and brokerage Velocity Markets. Bitwise pointed to its research showing that 95% of crypto trading is fake as proof that it understands the market. Perhaps understandably, this didn't help the company's case. Bitwise tried to get out in front of these arguments by asserting they're very aware that only 5% of the Bitcoin spot markets are real and I commend that effort, Donis-Cohen told CoinDesk. But Fallon, a former SEC senior counsel, said Bitwise did not explain how the exchanges with real volume were insulated from the prices found on other platforms. He added, "Bitwise did not address the concern that the price quoted on legitimate digital asset trading platforms is itself influenced by the weight of the other 95% and the prices quoted there. So it's like the tail wagging the dog, or the dog wagging the tail," and the SEC said, "You need to address that risk." Surveillance sharing. The solution to this issue, according to the SEC, may be surveillance sharing agreements between national exchanges sponsoring ETFs such as NYSE AKA, which filed the actual ETF proposal for Bitwise, and regulated markets. Until an ETF sponsor can satisfy the SEC's demand for surveillance sharing agreements or until the SEC changes its view on the Exchange Act, which almost certainly means waiting for a new chairman, there will be no Bitcoin ETF, Jake Chervinsky, general counsel at Compound Finance, told CoinDesk in a Twitter DM. Chervinsky does not see this happening anytime soon. The SEC once again strongly rejected the idea that a Bitcoin ETF sponsor can satisfy Exchange Act Section 6(b)(5) without entering surveillance sharing agreements with regulated markets of significant size, and given Bitcoin's current market structure, it's very unlikely that any sponsor will be able to enter such agreements within the next couple years. The SEC previously defined a significant market as one that where an individual trying to manipulate an exchange-traded product would have to trade on the same market, meaning a surveillance sharing agreement would help in identifying any would-be manipulators. Notably, Donis-Cohen said the fresh emphasis on a surveillance sharing agreement differs from previous disapprovals. She speculated that, should the SEC greenlight an ETF in the future, it would want to point to such an agreement as evidence that it did everything in its power to protect against market manipulation. It's just something tangible that the SEC can point to and review explicitly and say, "Hey, broader world, this is exactly what we're relying on and this is why we think that fraud and manipulation are rightfully off the table as significant concerns in the space," she said. Philip Liu, chief legal officer and co-founder of investment firm AKA, noted that the SEC's new order scarcely raised concerns about digital asset custody, a break from previous rejections that have focused on this issue. I assume that the custody issues are pretty much moot at this point, he said. There are a number of reputable custodians in the space now, including Coinbase Custody and Paxos Trust Company, and increased transparency between these entities and the regulators could help the SEC become more comfortable with the issue, Donis Cohen said. Moonshot. It seems unlikely that the SEC will approve an ETF for launch in the near future. Arcas Liu told CoinDesk that the SEC took a thorough look at the question and pretty much put the kibosh on the concept. For his part, Chervinsky does not expect an ETF before the latter half of 2020. It's reasonable to assume that Jay Clayton's SEC will never approve a Bitcoin ETF, he added on Twitter. Clayton's term is set to end in June 2021, but under SEC rules he could remain in office until 2023 if not replaced. The SEC chairman has long been an outspoken skeptic of the Bitcoin market, saying as recently as last month that sponsors and companies applying for an ETF have work to do addressing issues such as market manipulation. Donis Cohen said she would be surprised if an ETF was approved over the next year. Under the current regime, I think it's going to be difficult for an applicant to get all its ducks in a row in a manner that would give the SEC comfort. I think it would take a bit longer for the SEC to wrap their arms around the space. Chervinsky says the SEC's current perspective on the Exchange Act comes directly from Chairman Clayton. It was the crux of the commissioner's denial of the Winklevoss ETF appeal in July 2017, he said. The SEC did not write the latest rejection. Instead, it delegated the task to the Division of Trading and Markets, Fallon noted. He said this could be because the commissioners do not have much to add on top of what they wrote in the Winklevoss rejection. Next steps. The rejection won't stop Bitwise. Hogan said the SEC has provided enough detail for his company to file again at a future date, though Bitwise has not yet decided when it will refile. I don't think anything, the SEC said, that was fundamental to the Bitcoin market was impossible to meet, he said, adding, it's just a matter of answering their questions and providing them with yet more extensive data. Bitwise intends to explore surveillance sharing agreements and ISNT alone. VanEck and SolidX, which withdrew their ETF proposal with CBOEBZX in September, are also likely to refile their rule change proposal at some future date. Asked if he expects an ETF to one day be approved, Hogan said, I think if we can satisfy their requests, yeah, absolutely. I don't think the commissioners or the commission is inherently anti-Bitcoin or crypto, I just think they're appropriately cautious. Others remain less certain. Bitwise did move the baton further down the line, but that's no guarantee the company will get an ETF approved, Fallon said. He likened the approval process for the ETF to convincing his parents to let him drive a car. There was an initial struggle, but, after a certain point, his parents gave in. Assuming Bitwise or another company can answer the market manipulation issues, there is no reason why an ETF won't be approved eventually, he said. Donis Cohen said identifying what a significant market consists of is another step that Bitwise needs to take if it wants to establish a surveillance sharing agreement. But for other observers, doubts remain. Said Arcas Liu. The takeaway is, I just don't see how it can be approved at this stage for anybody that comes in. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.